means a lot. Amen. And I think it's just a blessing tonight when churches can get together and can be united. You know, there's a lot of things that divide in this world. Amen. I won't get into politics. You hear enough of that here at Mount Lebanon. Amen. They do over at Vilas Valley too. I know the preacher, his messages are on the radio and they're on the internet. He can't, if mine were on the radio and internet, I'd be in jail probably. Amen. If I was in Canada, I surely would. Amen. But listen, we're here tonight to worship God. And I believe the Lord's given me a message that will be fitting for the occasion. Anybody want to guess what I'm going to preach on tonight? The Lord's Supper. No, not really. Amen. We're going to preach on baptism. Amen. And with the Lord's help, we'll do a little preaching on baptism. But what I'm really interested in seeing is people take that plunge, get down in that watery grave, and then come up. Amen. What a representation. What a picture. We'll get to that in just a minute. Again, I'd just like to thank you for allowing us to be here. It's a privilege and an honor. I don't just say that. I really mean it. If you know me, you know I'm nothing. Amen. And I don't hold myself to be anything. The only thing I am, the only thing I have is because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He saved me from a life of worldliness, a carnal life where I thought I could do it myself. And it wasn't until Preacher Melvin preached the Word of God and God opened my eyes. Amen. It wasn't Preacher Melvin, but it was God using that man that I saw my ways and I saw who the Lord Jesus was. And He means everything to me. So if you would open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. And I just feel tonight as we take a look at baptism, I think maybe we'll do it in three ways. And if I were to entitle this message tonight, it would be Doing the Lord's Will, Following Him. Doing the Lord's Will, Following Him. And as I began to study baptism, I noticed that, you know, Jesus was baptized. And if you're not careful, as you begin to look at the Word of God and you say, well, Jesus was baptized? If you don't do any study and you'll have a lot of questions, a lot of question marks. Well, why would Jesus need to be baptized? Amen. What's this all about? So I thought we might start tonight by turning to the book of Matthew in chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 13 and see what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God says, Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's go to the Lord in dear prayer. Dear Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this service tonight where we might be able to be witness to this wonderful ordinance you've prescribed for us. Lord, we thank you that there's still saints, still sinners being saved by the mighty grace of God. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we stand here tonight. And Lord, those that come to be baptized, it's the same way. Lord, we all entered into that straight gate and that narrow way. Father, we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and we thank you for that. Now, we'd ask you tonight to help us deliver the message. Lord, use me, if you would, to deliver the message about baptism and what it means and how we can follow after you, Lord, and how it's important for us to do this. And Father, we'd ask you if there'd be any here tonight that know you not as Savior. Father, we pray that you would just illuminate their heart, Lord. Help them to see that Jesus is the true Son of God. Lord, help them to see that they need to be saved. Lord, we know that time is drawing near. We'd ask you, Lord, to just put some urgency into that heart, and we'll thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name, and amen. So we see here in these verses, beginning in 13 again, then Jesus cometh from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, John had a pretty good business, if you will, going on. He had a good ministry. He was baptizing in the River Jordan. And if we were to spend the time, I really don't want to tonight. I don't have the liberty to spend the whole time. But let me say this. I could make a series out of this. Is anybody at Mount Lebanon used to having a series of messages preached to them? Let me see your hands. Amen. I love being able to hear a series of messages from Pastor Wynn. you get the meat, you get the depth. Tonight you're going to get the Reader's Digest version, okay, amen. But it's still good. It's all meat. It's out of the Word of God. John the Baptist was preaching. He was making way the straits, making straight the way, preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. His baptism was not a Christian baptism, amen. Do you know that? His baptism was for repentance, amen. His baptism was to get these people's hearts, get their minds ready for the coming Messiah. Listen, if you want to try to get a hold of God, get in touch with God, and you've got sin in your life, good luck. Amen. You need to be ready. John the Baptist was there to preach repentance, and he did this in a way that I really believe honored the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here that Jesus came to John. John said, I can't baptize you. I need to be baptized of you, dear Lord. Jesus gave an indication of one of the reasons why he was baptized when he said, we need to fulfill all righteousness. And I want you to think about this. Why was Jesus baptized? Well, the first thing you need to understand is that Jesus identified himself with mankind. One of his favorite titles for himself was the Son of Man. And if Jesus was going to be our substitute, our propitiation for our sins, then surely he would want to identify himself with mankind. Now, did Jesus need to be baptized for repentance of sins? In no way. Why is that, preacher? Because Jesus never sinned. He is without sin. Amen. Let me ask you this. Can God sin? No. Amen. Never, never, never. Not even capable. Jesus did not need to be baptized for the repentance of sin. He wanted to be baptized to show that he was with us. He was with all of mankind. But also, I think he wanted to identify himself with John the Baptist, to give credibility to John's ministry, amen, to show that this is a prophet sent of God. And then we see in the verse, I believe it's 17, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I think that this alone right here, if this was the only statement, the only portion of Scripture, we could rest the case for the Trinity right here. Amen. One of the best examples of the Trinity. Here we have the Son. Here we have the Holy Spirit descending in the bodily shape of a dove, lighting upon Him and empowering Jesus Christ for His earthly mission. And we have a voice from heaven, the Father, saying, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is a declaration, if you will, of God claiming, this is my Son, my one and only begotten, unique Son. We have the Trinity all wrapped up in a few verses. Amen. That's important. That's important to know that the Trinity is involved in what we're getting ready to do. Amen. What we're getting ready to be a witness of. So I said, why was Jesus baptized? It was to identify himself with John the Baptist's ministry. It was to give legitimacy to John the Baptist as a true prophet sent of God. It was to connect him with us, all mankind. It was to show that he alone is the unique Son of God. And this was through the declaration of God the Father. And it shows the Trinity. But also, just simply, we don't have to get fancy. Jesus gives us an example. Isn't Jesus' life a complete example of how we ought to live? Amen. In the way he loved, in the way he abstained, in the way he separated, in the way everything about Jesus is an example. Why wouldn't baptism follow along with that? Surely it does. It shows us that, hey, if baptism was good for my Lord, I ought to do that. Amen. Now, I'd have you to do this. Well, let me do this first. Let me just lay out a few things. I told Preacher Wynn that I had a threefold picture, if you will, of baptism. And what I'd like to do is start using the letter P. See, most preachers won't tell you this. They'll just start doing it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to use the letter P. And I kid at church with our folks, the letter P is the easiest one to use. There's so many words that you can select out of the dictionary to begin one of your points in an outline. P is a natural, right, Brother Jason? Amen. I want you to know that when it comes to baptism, just a few things. There's a proper mode of baptism. Hey, we're mostly all Baptists here. I don't know, there may be some other denominations, that's fine. But as far as baptism goes for a Baptist, it's full immersion. Amen. The Word of God clearly indicates that when someone is baptized, they are immersed. That word baptizo, it means dipped or immersed. It doesn't refer to sprinkling. It doesn't refer to shaking a little holy water. It's full immersion. And so the proper mode of baptism is to be immersed. And if you're unsure about why this would be, you'll learn in just a minute. And then there's also a proper candidate for baptism. The Baptist Church and the Baptist doctrine since Christianity began, really, has been that the only proper candidate for baptism is a born-again believer. Amen. Baptism is not for the lost. Baptism is not for the unsaved. It's for the born-again believer. And unless you've trusted Christ, unless you've been saved, been born again, repented of your sins, you are not a fit candidate for baptism. Amen. Now, of course, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, would say differently. And maybe some other forms of denominations. And let me tell you, this doctrine eliminates baptismal regeneration. Amen. You are not saved by being baptized. The reason is because you have to be saved before you can be baptized. Let's get this straight. The book of Acts shows us this, chapter 2. We'll not go there, but let me just say this. For baptism, salvation is a prerequisite. It has to come first. Amen. We're just trying to lay out some ground rules here. So we're all talking about the same thing in the Word of God. And then we see that another P, we've got the proper mode, immersion. We've got the proper candidate, a saved believer, a born-again believer. And then we've got baptism is a prerequisite for church membership. If you want to be a member of a true Bible-believing Baptist church, you need to be baptized. It's an open door to the church. It's how Baptist churches welcome in new members. Amen. Amen. We've got that today. I believe that Mount Lebanon has three young people, I believe, that have come forward wishing to join themselves, unite themselves with Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Amen. They've got up more than likely. It's the same in most every church like this. You get up and you make a statement, make a profession of faith saying, I'd like to join. I was saved. Here's what God did for me. And the church gets up and at the end of the service, the business conference, and they give you the right hand of welcome. And you're now under the watch care of the church, amen, until such a time you've been scripturally baptized. That's why we're here today. It's an open door to the church. It's a prerequisite to be a member of the church. We've got three adults, amen. You've got three youngins. We've got three youngins, amen. We've got three youngins. And they're wishing to unite with Vilas Valley Baptist Church, just like yours are wishing to unite with Mount Lebanon. They need to be baptized. They've given profession of faith. They've been saved. And here we are today. Open door of the church. So it's a prerequisite. And I would have you turn to Romans chapter 6. This is, to me, the best part of baptism. Romans chapter 6, and we'll look how that baptism is not only requires a proper mode and a proper candidate. It's not only a prerequisite, but it's also a pictorial ordinance. And I said it's one of the two ordinances. Lord's Supper is a pictorial ordinance. Baptism is a pictorial ordinance. What does pictorial mean? Well, it means picture. It's a picture. It's a likeness. In baptism, we see a picture, and I believe it's really a beautiful, nearly perfect picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We see in baptism a picture of the gospel. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 and maybe read from verses 3 through 7. The Apostle Paul says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Baptism is a picture, amen, of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? I must say here, let me put this out, because when you were saved, a baptism took place. Amen. And I don't want to leave here tonight without saying that you had a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The moment that you were saved, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ. You are now in Him, and He is in you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You're one of His, and He's of yours. You are together. You're joined. That's the baptism of the Spirit, and it happens the moment you've accepted Christ, the moment you're saved. But here we see an outward picture of something that happened inside. Isn't that what baptism is? It's an outward picture of an inward change. You've professed Christ, you've accepted Christ, you've been born again, and here baptism is a beautiful picture of what's gone on in the inside. The death. You're laid down in that watery grave. Hey, when you can't be laid down in a watery grave by being sprinkled. The only way that you can be placed underground is to be placed all the way under, immersed. And as I count to 30, and you know, you're under there for 30 seconds, and at the count of 30, you'll really feel it. You'll feel close to the Lord. No, I won't. I'm just saying that for Brother Mike. You'll be under there in the blink of an eye. Amen. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Amen, Brother Mike. You'll be under there for just a moment, but it's a beautiful picture of the death, the burial, and then that newness of life as, Lord willing, I lift you out of the water with all my strength and the Lord's help, and you take that breath again. You take that breath, that's a new breath. It says right here, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that is like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I want you to think about that newness of life. Especially you young folks, but you older folks too. Your eternal life began the day you accepted Christ. Your new life that is without end, that will be fresh and new tomorrow, just like it was the day you accepted Him, that is here. This is a picture, a symbol for those that are gathered here today. It's your identification. I thought, you know, and it's not a good example, but, you know, a lot of people take on the mark, you know, I thought about the mark of the beast. You know, you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. And that's a mark that people will have one day, not for the saved. And then I thought, you know, there's some people that are identified by the clothes they wear. We have got a couple officers here tonight. It's pretty obvious, amen. 1-2, amen. Then some people get tattoos. And it identifies them as maybe a biker club or maybe the I Love Jesus club. I don't know, but they're marked. Hey, your baptism today is your identification. It's saying, I have accepted Christ. I have been born again by the Spirit. I have trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is my outward showing of what He's done for me. That's baptism. We don't have to make it real difficult. You're dead to sin. The Word of God says that in Romans 6. You're buried with Him. And then you're raised to newness of life. Now listen. I said that we ought to follow Him and do His will. Let's go to Matthew 28 and we'll finish. I didn't want to be long. You're not here to hear me tonight. You're here to witness one of the most beautiful ordinances in the Word of God. But, you know, some people say, well, Jesus didn't say, thou shalt be baptized. He didn't directly say that to everybody, but He did. Matthew 28 and verse 19. What does the Word of God says? He's giving instructions, amen, to His disciples. He's giving instructions to us. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's telling them to teach them. If you want to get someone into the family of God, they need to know some things. Amen. That's where the law comes in real handy. Amen. The law will teach you how short you've come, how far away the righteousness of God is. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them about His love for them, the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance. Teach them these things. And when God has opened their eyes, they'll accept Him. And when they've trusted Christ, when they've been born again, the next step is to baptize them. He even gives them the name to baptize them in, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is a commandment. And if God has commanded His disciples to do this, then it follows that we ought to obey His commands. Amen. One of the first steps of obedience, typically, I was going to say traditionally, but typically, one of the first steps of obedience after accepting Christ is to follow Him in baptism. It will be one of the best things you ever done. It will be one of the, just an experience that ought to free you up. You know, we've all got things, some sins and weights and things that weigh us down that we keep holding on to, that keep us away from being as close as we ought to be with God and keep us from being filled with the Spirit. You know, there's all sorts of these things. But here today, if you're one of these six born-again believers getting ready to take that watery plunge, I believe that short of being saved, it ought to be one of the closest times in your life with the Lord Jesus. You're doing something that you normally wouldn't do. You normally wouldn't get up in front of 100 people and lay down in a pool of water. But you're doing this as a representation of what God's done for you. And it'll mean something to you. I would just say this. I would pray just like at the Lord's Supper that you would, no man should ever take the Lord's Supper unworthily. And I'm afraid we've seen it. We've been witness to people making a hasty profession, maybe naming the name of Christ, but not really truly trusting Him, not being born again and being baptized. You don't want to be one of those people. Because you know what will happen if you do that? You'll just get wet. Amen. That's about it. And you can do that at home. What we're here tonight for, though, I truly believe it. From what I've heard from the people at Vilas Valley and from Pastor Wynn, those that are being baptized tonight have a good profession. Amen. And that means a lot. Amen. I mean, that means a lot. So listen, Jesus has given us the authority to do this. He gave it in verse 18. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power, Jesus has it. He's given it to you, to me. All power in heaven and in earth. Is there any other place? All power in all places, amen. That's what we've got. Go therefore and teach all nations. Is there any place we ought not to teach the gospel, to preach the gospel? No. All power in all places, amen, has been given. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. This is part of it. All things. That includes baptism. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. All things, all power. Amen. All places, all times, all. This is part of that command. This is part of that, hate to say, the circle of life. But you know, if you want to be a complete Christian, you can't be a complete Christian without following the Lord Jesus in baptism. You cannot be a complete Christian until you've joined with a local church. Amen. God uses the local church to do this, to go. Go ye therefore. This is a commandment given to the local church. You look at the book of Acts, the local church. It's a local church. You look at the New Testament, church, it's a local church. But in order to be a part of that, you must be baptized. In order to be baptized, you must be born again. So I'm going to close here just with a question for your soul. If you're honest with yourself, honest with God, have you been saved? Are you a part of that local New Testament church, that beautiful body? Are you a part of that? Have you been baptized? But maybe before that, have you been saved? You say, "Well, I don't need any of that." Hey, listen, one day you will. It may come sooner than you think. Hey, amen. Isn't it sad? It's unbelievable how death comes so suddenly. It's shocking. It's unbelievable. We witnessed that just Friday. It seems like every day in different places. It comes on you. And it happens. You say, well, I just spoke with them. I just saw them. I'll never do that. I'll never speak with them again. It's so sudden. Don't let this opportunity pass. If God is stirring your heart and you're beginning to think about these things, go to Him. He'll tell you what to do. Amen.